Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to P.S. I Hate This Movie, a podcast where we take a realistic look into the unrealistic world of romantic comedies. I'm your host, Sarah Hunt.
And my name is James Petragallo. Welcome to a horrible kind of hell this week.
A horrible kind of hell where we have many, 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 many heart-to-hearts. Nobody cares about anything else. It's just all heart-to-heart.
This film should be called Heart to Heart.
Yeah.
With all of these people.
Or, my opinion, yeah. Fart to fart.
Fart okay. to fart.
If this is your first week with us, welcome. If this is not your first week with us, welcome back. We thank you for being here with us to experience these movies as a passenger, to be on a journey. But while we're on this journey, we go through every painful, excruciating detail. Thank you for your Apple Podcast reviews. Thank you for your Patreon donations. Yes.
It all means a lot. Thank you guys for everything.
Exactly. Thank you for not asking anyone. Yes, we are on Patreon. It is patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigled, where we discuss things like 90 Day Fiancé, Below Deck. We play games like Plotsy, where I show James a movie poster of a movie he's never seen, and he guesses the plot of the movie or what the movie's about.
Here's a thing, spoiler, I'm never right.
No, I'm always wrong. Always very wrong. But I will say he has been getting better, less violence.
Well, I mean, I've noticed.
There's still violence, but at least it's not like so shocking.
Yeah.
At least the violence is like, you've written it into the script, which is good, which is I think that that's what you were missing before.
I would like to say, though, most of these movies we've seen would be better, and I'm not usually into that much violence, but they'd be better with some violence.
Of course.
I think.
Of course.
Could spice them up a bit.
We also play the game Make Your Own Rom-Com, where we pick from the bin who our main character is, who are their love interest is, what their jobs are, where they live, and what obstacle that they have to overcome. And the movies are pretty awesome. The last episode of Make Your Own Rom-Com, James drew Dolly Parton, and she was a dictator.
Yes, Dolly's a dictator. The dictator of Seattle, yes.
Well, it was dictator. They lived in Seattle. You made her the dictator of a town in Tennessee.
It was hilarious, though.
Which is very weird.
It was wild.
But it was really awesome.
What about this week?
This week, we're going to be, since it is tell-all season for Happily Ever After, well, it was a couple weeks ago, and we finally got The Other Way back, we're going to talk about 90 Day Fiancé, where we kind of wrap up the season of Happily Ever After. And since we had a bit of a break for The Other Way, we will catch everybody up on that.
Get back into that.
Yeah, that is patreon.com/YouGotHeigled. But anyway.
Thank you.
This last week, we watched Intolerable Cruelty, which is with Catherine Zeta-Jones and George Clooney. And that one was because I showed you a poster on Plotsy.
Yeah.
And also, so I don't know what happened. I uploaded the wrong file. So if you're like, wow, this sounds like Plotsy and it was for free, I'm sorry, you're welcome. But like also...
it was a folder mix-up.
I replaced the file, so if it's still Plotsy, just undownload and re-download. Sorry, I had a moment where I was a senile old woman, and I don't know what happened, and that's that. But you know what?
Speaking of senile, everyone in this movie was senile.
This week's recommendation comes from our friend TJ.
She messaged me
and was like, my mom just watched this movie, and it was looked pretty bad. And I was like, okay.
This movie
It's got Heigl in it, so I'm on board, and it was only 90 minutes. So this week we watched The Big Wedding.
It seems like they hired too many actors, and they were like, what do we do?
It's definitely a star-studded piece of shit,
They got two actors for each thing, and they were like, well, we want all of these people. What are we going to do? We'll figure a way out to put them all in the movie.
And I thought, when I first saw the poster of the movie, because I was like, I told you, remember, I was like, look, it looks like a star-studded piece of shit.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I said, I think it's going to be a commercial for, like, a wedding. It wasn't a commercial for a wedding.
No.
It was actually actually instead a 90-minute commercial about how embarrassed everybody is of their family.
And how they're perfectly willing to talk about it out in the open.
With everyone.
Anyone
so it
around.
Was the strangest thing in the whole world. I love hated this movie. I was so mad at it. We got Heigl'd real good.
Right in the face.
So
on
TJ,
this one.
Thank you. It was well worth our time because it was at least an enjoyable terrible.
Yeah, that's
because it was only 90 minutes.
That's
okay,
the thing.
So let's get into it. The Big
Please.
Wedding in 2013. 90 minutes.
That's spectacular.
6 minutes under.
Yeah, man, it was an abusive 90 minutes.
It was
though.
Very abusive.
They took liberties. They took liberties.
They took advantage
they
of
really did.
Our tolerance.
I feel like.
Starring Robert De Niro, Diane Keaton, and Katherine Heigl.
This could have been called Intolerable Cruelty as well. This movie.
And you know what? I'm going to argue that this one deserved that title more than the other movie.
This was like constitutional level too hard on us.
This
I feel
one
like.
Was
just cruel and unusual.
You could show this movie to me and tell me I have to watch it start to finish, or I could wrongfully confess to a murder I did not commit. And I don't know. I don't know if I would confess to that murder.
They had to cram everybody into this movie. And then in addition to cramming everybody into this movie, they're like, well, who are the funny characters? All of them. We have to give all of them.
They all must be
lines.
Very witty. They all must be very funny.
It's
they all
too
must
much.
Be. Yeah.
And they all must be willing to air their dirty laundry in public and have people make comments about it in real time and making fun of them. And it's like, what is this? A fucking, you know, like a snap contest? What are we, 1992? What's happening?
Yeah.
What are we watching?
So, what we are watching, the IMDb description is a long divorced couple fakes being married as their family unites for a wedding.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Sounds good.
Great.
The tagline is, it's never too late to start acting like a family, which I take issue with. So when I first read the description, so I do all the prep stuff before we watch the movie, so I do all the IMDb stuff. So the tagline to me, I am like, I am going to be a passenger. I am going on a journey. This is the tagline that they are telling me. And this is where we're going is it's, you know, so they've never been a family. But I never got the idea that they were never a family.
It seems the opposite.
Yeah, seems they're like a Leave It to Beaver family.
They're just like too much of a family.
They were perfect. They were a perfect nuclear family. It was
with other people.
It was
involved.
A mom and a dad and one boy and one girl. And then they adopted a kid.
They adopted
it was,
a young Alejandro.
Yeah. And it was just like, okay.
I guess
let's
that'll
just
come
get
up
into
in the plot.
It. Yeah. The fun fact of this movie is that there are 4 Oscar winners in this film. Just 4. Just
4 Oscar winners. Think
and
about
that's
that.
What we have. We had Robin Williams. We got Katherine Heigl. We got Diane
Heigl
Keegle.
Won an Oscar?
Keegle. I said Diane Keegle. Oh my God, that's so embarrassing. Because there was a lot of weird sexual stuff in this movie, and oh no.
Oh my
God. Oh no.
Diane and her fucking super, super tight vagina.
I know everything about everybody's vagina in this fucking movie. Oh my
they
God.
Do talk about
that was
it
a little
enough.
Subversive right there. I just was like, Diane Keegle. Oh no.
We almost got too close to Sarandon's.
Whoa. There was a lot going on. Maybe Katherine Heigl. I thought I read that she was, but it's probably Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon.
Okay.
Please.
De Niro. Yeah.
Sarandon't.
Sarandon. No. Okay. So we start off in the movie. Oh my God. I am just.
It's a lot. It's a lot to take in.
Diane Keegle is probably the funniest accidental name, though, ever.
Diane Keegle. There she is. And it really makes sense for this. She should have changed her name to that for this movie.
Yeah,
that could
I
have
think
been her
starring Diane
name.
Keegle.
Well, that could have been her character's name. Yeah. And we would have went, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, there she is. Okay, so we have a B-roll of a house. It looks like it's on the East Coast. It's a reflection of the house in the pond, lake, creek.
Body of water.
Body of water.
Of some kind.
By the way, what is James's favorite body of water?
Why are you asking me this?
Oh, you don't remember what you said to me the other day?
No. What is
you
it?
Said that your favorite body of water was Cheddar Bay.
Oh, Cheddar Bay. Yeah. That is my favorite body. I would like to go to Cheddar Bay. Pick the biscuits right off the beach.
It was just a bay of water, whatever this was.
It's we'll call it Cheddar Bay.
We're going to call
it
Cheddar Bay.
They live on Cheddar Bay where you pick biscuits right out of the trees. That's what happens. All the trees that grow on the shoreline, that's
those
how they
Cheddar
work.
Bay biscuits are so good.
They are. Red Lobster's terrible, but the biscuits are wonderful.
Of course.
Yeah.
The only reason to go there. All right. So voiceover of Robert De Niro, obviously, because every bad rom-com starts with voiceover, especially if it's 90 minutes, because there's a lot of like stuff that they have to fill in, and they're like, let's achieve this with B-roll and voiceover. So that's
yeah,
great.
Let's make sure it's Birdcage, you know, crosses Meet the Parents, because that's what we need.
That is exactly what it was. It was Birdcage and Meet the Parents, and I prefer Birdcage and Meet the Parents.
I would rather see either of those films repeatedly than this film, which we've seen Birdcage repeatedly because it's hilarious.
I've seen
Meet the Parents a bunch of times, but this movie I will avoid forever.
Yeah. Diane, it's on Amazon Prime now, so if you really want to torture yourself,
it's on there.
You can watch it.
It's
Diane Keaton
grating.
Is here. She is looking at a tree. And as we see,
she's looking at a tree
in the voiceover. Well, because in the voiceover, he's like, "We have three beautiful children," and she's looking at this tree. And then you see these names, like these nameplates nailed into the tree. So they have three children: Jared, Lila, and an adopted son, Alejandro. Diane Keaton has broken into the house. She's, you know, going like feeling around trying to find like where they would put a hideaway key. She finds it. She goes in the house. She's snooping around. You get the understanding this is not her home, but she recognizes this as her, like, look, nothing's changed. Yeah. And then, but there's tons of pictures of pugs everywhere. And you're like, oh, Robert De Niro. Would he have pugs everywhere? No, it's because it's Susan Sarandon is his girlfriend. So you see pictures of like Susan Sarandon. So you're like, okay, obviously she's the ex. You know, you're putting stuff together.
Yeah, then it gets gross.
Yeah,
fast.
you're on a journey, okay? And then along this journey, Robert De Niro walks in the house with Susan Sarandon. They are talking. One of the first things out of Robert De Niro's mouth is that he says, "What came first, the Catholic Church or cunnilingus?" And I was like, oh.
Well, and the way they do it, too, is like Diane Keaton's in the other room and she just hears like there's like, you know, plastic bags, like people coming in the house. So it's just like, hey, what are we doing here? Cunnilingus, the thing of the life. She's like, oh my, what? She like hides
Diane
more.
Keaton's
it's very,
like sitting
like,
in the living room, which you would definitely notice, like she is within eye line of where they are. So
she's 7 feet from them tops.
So then Robert De Niro picks up Susan Sarandon and puts her on the counter to participate in some cunnilingus right there on the counter.
Next thing you know, here comes Susan Sarandon's underwear, and you're like, oh boy.
Diane Keaton tries to flee, which okay, yeah.
Yeah,
you don't wanna, that's not something that, you know, you're like, oh, hi, I haven't seen you guys in a while. Would love to see that performance
like
on
see.
The kitchen counter.
No, thank you.
So Susan Sarandon pulls her underwear up and, you know, Robert De Niro's on the ground and he says, I thought you were coming in around 5. No, 6:30. Susan Sarandon says to him, like, you didn't tell me this. And she's like kind of shadily looking at him. So we're like, okay, something is going on
with this situation.
Yeah. So this is your journey. You've been interrupted on your journey for a little cunnilingus on the counter. And then...
Counterlingus.
Now...
a little counterlingus and...
I don't like it. Well, I don't like it.
You know what I didn't like and what I found disturbing was at one point during this, when Diane Keaton's trying to flee and Robert De Niro's like, you know, dismounts his face from Susan Sarandon. Sarah paused it for a second to put her face in her hands and just go, what the fuck did I just see? What's going on?
I closed my cardigan a little
and
bit.
And I consoled you for a minute.
Yeah, I needed to say a few. Like, then, oh, God.
And then I looked up at the screen and the still was just, it's Susan Sarandon like pivoting on the counter with her panties just hanging off her. Ooh. Yeah, just hang. In this situation, they were panties hanging off of her.
Okay.
You know what I mean? She's like an older lady. My panties are hanging off my ankle. She's like that. It was happening for hanging off of one ankle as she like pivots around, leaving a trail behind her on the counter. It wasn't good. I didn't want to see it anymore. I was like, oh, can we know this is a bad still. We need to get off. Unpause.
It was a very private moment, is all. I'm just, I closed my cardigan a little bit. I felt like we needed to give them a moment just to have their counterlingus and, you know, maybe we could take a tour of the backyard we're not involved.
Like Diane Keaton.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
But just, you know, leave me out of it. Let me...
Much like Diane Keaton, I was wanting to flee at that point.
Yeah.
I tried. Our door was locked, too.
That's what I mean. I understand Diane Keaton, like, oh, I'm sorry. This is a very private moment. I broke in here, like,
bye.
My bad, like, you know, whatever. And they're like, no, it's okay. But she probably still, like, she doesn't now want to, like, talk with you guys. Like, let's have a moment of that.
And they just, they act like.
Hug each other.
Yeah, they're like, how's it going? And Susan Sarandon, like, pulls her underwear up and she's like, you know, show her to this room and she's staying here. And I'm like, no, you were just
good for them for being adults.
I guess.
Right. Jared, so she asks, Diane Keaton asks where the kids are. Apparently Jared is at work and Alejandro is at a pre-Cana with his fiance, which is apparently something religious. And so we meet the couple, Amanda Seyfried and some nondescript handsome man who we know as Alejandro. He is very just like, very forgettable, but very handsome. Like, he's just like a plug-in character. Yeah. Like,
yeah, he's a plug-in character. He's very smart. He speaks five languages.
Speaks five languages.
He's very manicured. He's from
Colombia. His parents now, so Diane Keaton and Robert De Niro are very affluent. He went to Harvard. Like, they seem very, like, you know, just liberal with everything. Like, you know, Diane Keaton spent 3 months in Cambodia, and they she lived there. Yeah. And whatever. So everything is very just free. Everything is very free, including...
Like a rom-com, like most rom-coms, money is no object in this movie.
No object.
The subject of money as far as like, you know, oh, can we afford this wedding? Or what are you guys going to do? Jobs never once comes up. They bring up the thing to make, say the guy was up for stock fraud, the girlfriend's
that's
father.
That's about it.
That's it. Otherwise,
that was just to make fun of them, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, otherwise, just everybody's wealthy. That's all there is to it.
So, Robin Williams is also the priest, which we were excited because we were like, okay, great.
Well, maybe something goofy. Everybody's a goofball in this.
There will be some redeeming qualities to this movie. And
he's the most serious character in the movie, but he's not
very
even serious.
Underutilized.
They could have had literally anybody play this priest, and it would have had the same exact effect rather than the first initial, like, oh, I wonder if this will be interesting. Here's Robin Williams. What's he going to do? And he does
Robin
nothing.
Robin Williams is asking very personal questions about Amanda Seyfried to Alejandro, and he's asking if her virginity is still intact and if they're using birth control.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm like, oh, like, this
questions.
Is not any of your business. Or
he got super priesty with him.
I believe if you're like religious, I'd be like, I believe Jesus knows what I've been up to, and I haven't been smited down yet, so I think I'm on the right path. Like, just leave me alone.
Here's the way I look at it. They're getting married, so who cares?
Yeah.
So you're getting married. All right, good. Then what the fuck gives a shit?
That sounds good. Yeah, great.
I mean,
love this for you. What's done
is done. You're getting married. Excellent. Great. You're doing the right thing. Good job. I don't know. What do you care?
That's not.
Move
on. That's not part of it.
Priests are nosy. I feel like
very nosy
in that situation when you go to them and you ask them for they're going to get nosy with you.
And Alejandro is very anti-religion, where he doesn't like any organized religion, but he is like, you know, well, we just figured that we'd wait for our kid to be old enough for them to choose for themselves. And like, I speak five languages and I went to Harvard and I think that this isn't, he's just very like,
yeah, Robin Williams tries to like besmirch. He's like Alejandro, and he's like, and so his girlfriend there is, you know, all, oh, he went to Harvard, and so Robin Williams goes, him and half of China,
yeah,
and so they're very dismissive of Alejandro.
Yeah, he's trying to say that, like, listen, my biological mother is Catholic and very religious and devout and blah blah blah, and she's going to be the one that gives me away, and then
it's so stupid.
Yeah, so
the whole thing's stupid. He's grilling him. She's trying to like lie for him.
She's trying to be like, don't worry about it, father. And then Alejandro's kind of being like, nah, you're gonna accept the way that I am.
I get that happens. Like, I know that people, if they have like a religious wedding, then you have to like meet with them and all that. But in a movie, it just that I've seen that process in movies before. But not since like the early 80s. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like a very old fashioned movie trope of them meeting with the priest. Like, that just felt like very like 70s to me. I don't know.
We did have one funny line. I did love this line from Robin Williams and this exchange from Robin Williams and Alejandro. They're talking about use of birth control and all of that stuff. And he's like, ah, I see. And then Alejandro says something like, I guess we're going to hell then. And Robin Williams says, in good time, my son. Like, just don't even worry about it. Yeah. That's all that's all we're out here to do right now is just go to hell. Yeah. All right. So here she
just
is.
Busted out some counterlingus if you're going to hell anyway.
Oh, yeah. Right on the priest's desk.
Move aside, Robin Williams. Father Robin Williams.
Yeah.
Step aside.
All right. So here she is. the Heigl herself.
Ugh, she comes in.
The one, the only. She's at a hospital. It looks like a maternity ward, and it's apparently to see her brother. So she's like, she goes like, I'm here to see Dr. So-and-so. I'm just visiting. And then this couple comes like walking around with this, you know, fresh baby right out the womb. And then
she's
like,
the wrapper on him,
she's like cooing and, you know, stuff at the baby. And then she looks at Katherine Heigl and she's like, hello, like super weird and creepy.
Yeah.
And then Heigl runs away, which I think I would too, because I'd be like, why are you talking to me?
But
didn't you just have a baby? Like, why are you walking around?
She didn't even look at them. She looked at the baby, gave the baby a dirty look, and then ran away. She didn't even like look at the adults.
So you're like, whoa, like, what's her deal?
Okay.
Yeah.
And by the way, her hair, this... Heigl's got a thing with her hair.
So blonde.
And these different shades of blonde. She is in her like top...
Yellow.
Top blonde, like, you know, Ric Flair hair going on.
Woo!
Right now. Yeah. She is like... It's shorter than Flair's.
Yeah.
It's like 1992 Flair, basically, is her hair.
She looks... The hairdo that she has is one of like a news anchor.
She looks like a Midwestern news anchor. Like, hello, Cincinnati. I'm Katherine Heigl. We're here to give you the news. Why does it smell like sulfur in this city? I have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
Back to you, Ted. That's what she looks like.
Don't show me your baby.
Yeah, don't show me your baby. It'll make me smoke and then fall down.
So this guy, so now she's sitting in a waiting room to wait to see her brother, which I didn't understand this part, because usually if you're going to go visit your doctor brother, the nurse at the front desk can probably just call your brother and say, hey, your sister is up front.
Well, he was in a delivery, she said.
Oh.
He was in a delivery, but they have offices in there.
They have places for her to go.
So I visited people who work at hospitals. They don't take you in the waiting room. They put you in their office.
She was in the waiting room, and she's about to like light a cigarette. Like, she's Don Draper.
Yeah, she's just finds it in her purse. She's like, hell yeah.
And this guy, and this is what, this offended me. Okay, so I...
This offended. Oh,
this
offended
me.
I want to hear what it is. This will be good.
I'm fine if you're not going to swear in a movie.
Yeah, and they do swear in this movie.
They swear in this movie.
Plenty.
But if you're not going to swear in a movie, then make it all... Nobody's swearing and they're all doing,
gotcha,
like, whatever. But if you're going to have people swearing in the movie...
Yeah.
Then you better fucking swear in the movie. Because this guy says, are you freaking kidding me? We're in a hospital, lady.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? And I'm like, is this movie PG-13? But then as you listen to the rest of the movie, Robert De Niro doesn't stop saying the F word. Everybody says the F word.
It opens with counterlingus.
Yeah. It's like, I don't like it. If you're going to fucking say, are you freaking kidding me? And not even like, hey, you freaking kidding me?
But
like
the,
saying it like that. But you're like, are you freaking kidding me, ma'am? Are you going to light up a cigarette?
But I felt like they were trying to make that guy, like, by the way his jacket was, he had like a plaid sport coat. Like, they were trying to make him like dorky. I'm Mr. Middle Management. What are you freaking kidding me? I thought that was the character of the guy. His arm was in a sling for some reason. Get an actor who has a... Because that's not an actor.
And then he's going to go see a baby and he can't even hold the baby? What is he there for?
It makes no sense.
Kidding.
Well, it's a weird thing to take a guy who's got no other part except to go, are you freaking kidding me? And then go see his baby. Why would you put him in a sling?
And then
if the actor actually broke his arm, wouldn't you go, we got to get another actor because your arm's in a sling and it's distracting.
The nurse came out and said, like, hi, you have a new baby girl. And he's like, are you serious? How are they doing? Like, it's 1960. And I'm like, wouldn't he be in the room?
It's this movie, the lack, and you know what else too? Oh my God. Well, you know what it is?
What?
We always say it. This is one of those movies that somebody wrote in 1978 and it never got made. And then they were like, you know what? I got it made finally.
Yeah.
Because it's true too. There's like, it's 2013 this movie's made in. There is like no phone play in this movie whatsoever. Nobody texts each other. Nobody calls each other on their cell phones. Like, are really pretty non-existent.
Katherine Heigl has one. That's only because she's very busy.
She's a very busy businesswoman.
Topher Grace is a fucking... He's a doctor. He would never not be on his phone.
That's what I mean.
Especially since he's an obstetrician.
Totally. No one is texting. No one sends. The phones are never the solution. If you need to talk to someone, you fucking go to where they are and have a heart to heart. Like it's 1978.
But if you want to talk to somebody, you don't know that you want to talk to somebody until they show up, and then you have heart to heart.
Exactly.
And you're like, oh good, perfect, I'm so glad that you're here.
Nobody just texts
each
other.
I'd like to have this heart to heart with you now.
Yeah. At one point Heigl goes, no text, no calls, no voicemails, no, whatever. But like, that's the only time they even bring it up. Otherwise,
and the weird thing is that like they think that we're dumb and like we don't have cell phones. They have like a gadget, and then she'll just be sitting there playing it like out loud. It'll say like in the middle of the car.
Yeah.
No voice voicemails, ho. Like,
no,
it's
new
just,
voicemails,
yeah, loser.
Yeah.
No, you don't get any voicemails.
No one likes Heigl.
Yeah. Your husband still doesn't want to talk to you.
Your womb is barren. That's what
your
they tell
Your womb's empty like this voicemail box, lady. And, that's not nice. That's well, we got to get into that.
And her about to smoke at the cigarette in the dress in the dressing
so,
room in the green room there. What am I saying?
It's
the waiting
not a
room.
Green room.
Jesus Christ, what is wrong with me?
It's not a green room.
The green room. Yeah, it's
where
the green
the
room.
Big show when the baby comes out.
Well, actually,
here's
then
your
the,
headliner.
The woman would be in the green room then.
Yeah.
She'd be like waiting to go. She's the show. You're
she's,
just
she's on.
Yeah, you're like the engineer basically.
Yeah.
You just turn the fucking mic on and let
so,
her go.
So she's like, she's trying to light one up in the waiting room, and she's even like, I don't even smoke. So why does she have cigarettes on her purse?
She quit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She quit. So anyway, it's also a hospital. You definitely cannot smoke in here.
Yeah.
It's not like you're like, oh, wow, I can't even remember. I just really slipped into an old feeling there.
No. The late 80s is like the end of the smoking in the hospital era.
The dad goes in to go check on the wife and baby. They open up the curtain and there's a whole room of babies and she faints and then she wakes up and Topher Grace is her brother and her doctor.
And a virgin.
And apparently a virgin. They're just talking about it. Like
they
the
introduce
fucking,
it. Boom.
The one of the nurses comes up and is like, I want to ask a question. Is it true that he's not very experienced? And then she's this. I think that this scene was only to show us how snarky and mean Heigl is. Like, she's like very snappy. She's very snarky.
She's willing to talk shit about her brother with somebody.
Well, she's talking shit about her brother, but then she later tells him that his dick is like really huge. And it was just like, what's happening?
Yeah, I don't know what was going on with the dick comment. I tried to tune that part out. But yeah, the whole thing is Topher Grace is like, he's a funny guy and he's a cool guy.
So handsome,
he's
eligible bachelor,
he's
under
pulling,
30.
Pulling babies out of ladies and shit. But you know what? Never got
never
it in
banged
there.
Banged anybody because he was just waiting for love.
No counterlingus whatsoever.
No counterlingus for Topher Grace.
None.
Yuck. I'm still upset by that. I don't like
I'm upset by that still. It's burned into my mind.
I'm sorry.
you paused it at the worst.
We really
time.
Went into a. It just felt like a private moment.
I had a meltdown.
I shouldn't have paused it because that just leaves us in the private moment. But I was just like, ah.
Well, especially her pivoting with her underwear hanging off her foot. I was like, ugh.
Okay, so she's very. I was very confused why she was visiting because I get it that she's flying in from Chicago because she is. Sorry, yeah. Heigl's flying in from Chicago for her brother Alejandro's wedding, and she needed to go see Topher Grace at the hospital. Why? Was she bringing him lunch? Was she like, hi, what time are you getting off? Because I know we're going to carpool to the, is it just like a hi just to let you know I'm in town? And what a selfish bitch that is.
Well,
who cares? I'm a doctor.
You know when
I'm
you
delivering would, babies.
You know when you would get into town and stop by to see your brother on the way to where you're going in 1978? That's when you would do that.
Yeah,
not
okay.
Now. Now you would be like, send him a text and go, hey, on the way to the hotel, landed, hope I get to see you later.
Yeah. What time are you going to mom and dad's?
Yeah. Are you free? Do you have any breaks? I'll stop by and see you. You wouldn't just
James
show
is doing
up.
James such a great mime of texting.
I can't even see it.
I'm so upset that you can't see it.
You
it's so good.
You wouldn't show up, though. You would text first. You available? It's just fucking 2013.
Yeah.
Save yourself the trip by texting first. That's why we fucking invented technology.
Yeah.
So you don't have to show up at the hospital and fucking sit in the waiting room while your brother pulls a fucking baby out of somebody.
And then he has to tend to your stupid concussion.
Then he has to tend to you because you're a jackass.
Yeah.
She could have been down, so I'll meet you down at a restaurant or something.
Yeah, I'll see you after work. What time are you going? Like, it wasn't like, are we carpooling? We're going here. Like, it's just like, she's just visiting him at work and he's delivering babies. Like, it's not like he's...
This movie was originally starred like Peter O'Toole
right
and
now.
Like, you know, like a bunch of, you know, insert the 70s.
Right.
Elliot Gould was supposed to be somebody in it originally, I'm sure. It's like a 70s movie.
Susan Sarandon is showing Diane Keaton to the room that she's going to be staying in because Diane Keaton used to live. This was her house with Robert De Niro.
The house they built together.
I have a lot of issues with this. But anyway, so Susan Sarandon and Diane Keaton are gabbing about somebody named Muffin. They're saying that she's got
Muffin.
So much plastic surgery and, you know, her face is behind her ears and...
Which she didn't, that character really didn't have...
No, she's great.
She didn't really have plastic... She was a nightmare of a person of the character, but
and
the
it's so,
actress didn't have like a facelifty
when
thing.
When you said that they were basically... it's like the Birdcage.
Yeah.
That the woman that plays... what's her name?
The oh no, who plays
Ally McBeal's mom in The Birdcage?
Oh my God,
she
yeah,
she is perfect.
Gene Hackman's wife.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
And
in
Gene
Birdcage.
Hackman
she's
is just
so
wonderful
good.
In that movie.
Everybody in that movie is perfectly done. Nathan yeah. Lane's great. Everybody's very except for the kid who's like kind
Val
of the
sucked.
Val's like the center of the movie,
Calista
sort
Flockhart
of.
Is her name.
Yeah, she's even good.
She's hilarious.
But Val's like the center of the movie, and he's. Can we just talk about The Birdcage
no.
instead? Because I hated this movie, but I really like The Birdcage.
Bridget,
they could have got a better actor for
I
Val.
I could really use some candy. That's yeah. my favorite line.
What is it with that? Because that era too. Because in the '80s, Back to School, Rodney yeah. Dangerfield. It's got Robert Downey Jr. It's got. What's his name? Fucking Paulie from Rocky. It's yeah. got Rodney Dangerfield. All these people. And then the kid who's Dangerfield's son, who's like
sucks.
The center of the movie, is the worst actor in the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Like, why would you put the lead
no.
be the worst person?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
To
I'm
let
sorry.
The other side characters shine.
But he's like not good. They give
oh,
him lines. He's just bad at delivering
yeah.
them. So, I don't know. That just drives me fucking crazy.
We should
crazy.
Talk about The Birdcage instead, because now I'm just thinking about Nathan Lane.
Yeah,
and
I like
his
it
perfection.
Better. Let's just switch. This is, it went from.
The Pirin tablets.
All
okay,
right, we have
fine.
To talk. No, we watched this. We're going to fucking talk about
yeah,
it because
gonna,
I suffered through
God
this.
God damn it. You're going to hear about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
God damn it. All right.
All right
let's do it. Come on.
Kids are all seeing each other. They're all having a nice little meet at the dinner thing. Katherine Heigl has a business haircut, obviously, and she tells her brother Alejandro, yeah, you know, no big deal. Mid partner, like whatever.
They don't say in what, do they?
No,
they
no,
never
just
say what
partner.
She does.
It's not
yeah.
the script. How's Chicago going? Great. I made partner.
Yep.
Where? I don't know. Just made partner.
See my suit and short haircut.
This
and
means,
partner
yeah,
status. See me.
This means
success.
That I yeah success. But also something is missing. Obviously, because this
yeah.
is a rom com.
Yeah, but yeah. There's
something is missing because she can't possibly be fulfilled
no.
by her haircut and her career.
No.
She also must need to
she
faint when she sees
a,
babies.
A baby. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy
and
her.
Andrew.
And Andrew, who's...
But he said such mean things, like, oh, whatever.
Did you see that guy? He didn't say mean things.
No.
I'm
and
sorry.
If he did, fuck him. I could
yeah.
beat him up tomorrow.
He was like a doughy, weird guy with terrible hair.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck is this? That's Heigl's
I would
husband?
Bully him so hard. If he said anything mean to me, I'd be like, oh, shut up. And
he,
I would
yeah.
be like the meanest person in the whole world.
When I saw that guy and she was like, oh, no, I'm like, well, that can't be her
no.
husband. And then I'm like, I guess that is her husband. Wow,
yeah.
she's talking like it is. I guess that's him. Because
I was
he
like,
looks
Heigl,
like...
you are out of that man's league.
Yeah, and that's Heigl, and
yeah.
she's out of his league, so,
okay.
you know.
So, anyway, Katherine Heigl sees Robert De Niro, and she throws up all over her dad. She doesn't seem to really like him that much.
No.
She
hates him.
Chugs some Perrier at the table, and then she starts interrogating the new couple, Amanda Seyfried and Alejandro, and she is really interrogating them, putting the new in-laws on blast for being racist.
Oh, it's...
And religious, because she's like... Because they don't really seem to like Alejandro, and one of the lines that Katherine Heigl says at the end of the movie is she's like, they're gonna have beige babies and you're gonna like it, and then they're like, oh my God, no,
yeah.
they're not
oh,
going to. So
no.
Katherine Heigl really makes, she really gives it to him. That was a redeeming
yeah.
quality about Heigl. She's really just giving it to him about how racist they are and how they need to just shut up.
Totally. And they make a really big deal about, like, that he, Alejandro is Colombian. They act
they say
like
that he's like from Italy instead.
Yeah, they act like he's like, you know, he's wearing like a, like he was just like farming in the fields in Colombia, and he came, he just stopped his coffee, you know, harvest, and he came over
yeah.
and he's doesn't speak English. He's
he
wearing a
Harvard,
wearing a straw hat and pulling
languages.
A fucking
yeah.
donkey behind him. That's what they
yeah.
act like. He speaks five languages and he's a Harvard graduate.
And his parents are
he's
super
like
6'4".
Rich. He's like, not that they should treat him any better for that, but I mean, they act like he doesn't even know what they're saying. And it's like,
no, it's like,
he's
it's not like he
there.
Doesn't come from a good family. He's been
that's
raised
the other
by
thing.
These people. He's been
good,
raised
and
by
we
these
mean
people.
Good in their eyes.
Yeah,
like
that's what
Muffy
I mean.
And
like,
Muffin and whatever's
Muffin
fucking
and Barry.
A good family, meaning
yeah, yeah.
a
I'm,
white,
yeah.
proper, rich
I'm
family.
I'm saying
yeah.
like what they would constitute
exactly.
as like what they would want. Yeah, we're making very quote.
Yeah, it's a quote of quotey marky thing.
So we're saying that their standards would be like, oh, she needs to come from a good family. It's like, okay, yeah, Robert De Niro
yeah.
makes a lot of money. So does Diane Keaton. They seem to have three children and all of them look fine.
Doctor.
Yeah.
One's
and then
doctor.
This one went to Harvard and yeah. he looks white passing. So you're good.
That's the other thing. If you didn't tell me that this kid
yeah.
is Colombian, you just go, okay, who's this kid?
Yeah.
I thought he was maybe Italian, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But not like, you know, like I said, he looks he's dressed very American.
Yeah.
They just act just like
stupid
he's like,
that they were acting like that. It was just embarrassing. And I was glad that Amanda Seyfried's character was like, oh my God, mom, like stop.
And they went over the top with it too. They went over the top with it. Like later on when they're out to eat and the mother's like, they don't eat American food. Can the chef whip up a chimichangi or something like that? Yeah. And I was like, okay, come on. That's okay.
Yeah.
Enough. That was, we get it. They're racist. Enough. Yeah. Like, that no one's that dumb. People are that racist, but they're not that dumb to say that at the table.
The ones that are believable that I, you know, that you wanted to see in this role is like Nia Vardalos is in My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Yeah.
Where they're like,
that's a different
Oh, his assistant was Guatemalan. Is Guatemala near Greece? Like, people
this
are very
is dumb.
Yeah, they're like dumb with it. They don't say that.
Yeah. These are adults. They know not to be overtly racist directly to people's face at a fucking
but
big
some
dinner.
People probably
I guess
do
some
that.
People,
yeah,
I
mean
I
that this
the,
yeah. they got the idea somewhere. You hope that people don't fucking do that at the table, but they probably do.
Yeah, the only time racist things were ever said at tables when I was younger, when I was a kid, was if it was said in another language anyway. They say it in Italian, and it was usually about some.
Wow,
wasn't about any race. Usually, it was about
Yeah, well, we know from My Big Fat gypsy wedding, American gypsy wedding.
Yeah.
That, like, people, if you're not a gypsy, they will straight, like, harass you and put you through the ringer.
Yeah.
They're
like,
you're a gorger. And the people are like, wow, I want to marry your daughter.
They're a little over the top with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Italians are more like back in the day, they just didn't like anybody who wasn't Italian. But now they've opened it up to, they don't really care. Like, grandmother loves you, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Doesn't care what you are. You're great.
I made a delicious dessert.
And you can like make sauce and shit. So she's like, she's good. It's all right.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So anyway, wow, I forgot where we were. Andrew, so now we learn at the dinner table that Andrew, Heigl's husband, has moved out. She says that she can't have children. So this explains her fainting in front of babies, I guess. And she's very sad about it. And she's like, he said such mean things to me. So
that's all. That's the only thing she says that happened in their relationship.
Mean things to
he
me.
Said
but like,
mean things. To me.
But like, so she's like, we can't have a baby, which is devastating.
Yeah.
Like, if you're like, I can't have a baby, and that's like something that you want, like with your partner.
I guess.
That is devastating.
That's what I mean.
Well,
I don't
that's
know.
What your body is meant to.
Is that what they were insinuating? That he was like talking shit to her about that? Like he was, what's up, you know, fucking.
Yeah, what's up? You can't give me
tundra
a kid,
uterus.
You suck.
Yeah. What's going on in there?
Yeah.
Got tumbleweeds blowing around in there.
Yeah, what's up, Baron von Heigl?
Yeah.
Like, Jesus. Like, it's just, I didn't know. I'm like, how mean could he?
Very.
Like, I guess, I don't know. People do get hurt about that stuff where they, you know, they'll say like, you know, and he might be upset. But again, don't project that onto her. She already feels horrible enough.
I mean, if
it feels
he did
like
say
your
that,
body's
that's
betraying
terrible.
You.
If he did say that, it's terrible. Yeah, yeah, but she doesn't ever say.
Andrew.
We don't know. We don't know what's said to her. We don't know what she does for a living. We know very little about Heigl except that she's blonde, she's aggressive, and
very
she
witty.
Wants a fucking baby.
Yeah.
That's all we know about her.
And she puts the... And no, and she's mad at her dad.
Yeah, she's angry. That's what I mean. She's angry. She's aggressive toward everybody, though.
Yeah.
She's aggressive in the calling out of racism. She's aggressive toward her father. She's
aggressive toward her brother.
Not
like,
necessarily.
You know, what are you doing getting married?
Bad
Where are you
aggressive.
Going on the honeymoon?
Yeah.
What are you doing about this?
Sometimes good aggressive, sometimes bad aggressive, but just aggressive no matter what.
She's well, she is partner.
She's busy businesswoman with short haircut, which in a rom-com means aggressive.
By the way, I looked at how many.
Which is fine.
There's three writers on this movie.
Okay.
Because a lot of them, like a lot of this movie, I was like, oh, who wrote this? It's two men and one woman.
It's so nice that it got made, you know, after they've died because they wrote it 45 years ago. So it's good that they actually got to, their kids got to see it made.
She goes and runs off and sits on a diving board with a cocktail. Robert De Niro apparently cheated on Diane Keaton. So he goes and follows her up the diving board. He's afraid of heights. And so this is just to show that he'll do anything for his daughter. You know, he knows that she's upset with him, but he's a good guy. He'll do anything.
Yeah, he's going to try to talk to her. She's clearly upset up there.
Yeah, so apparently Robert De Niro cheated on Diane Keaton, and then this is where I took umbrage with why Susan Sarandon and Robert De Niro live there still, because I would think that you would be like, okay, I'd like to have a new house, like one that like is like yours and mine.
Yeah, apparently the backstory here is Keegle and De Niro were married. Okay, yeah. They were married. They had the two kids. Like we said, they adopted a third kid. They built this house up over the course of time. Every time he sold a sculpture, they added another room or whatever horseshit romantic comedy trope. Crap they fucking
like weird
laid
fairy
out.
Tale shit like,
exactly and they fucking you know carved
like
another thing out and nailed
that
it on
thoughtful,
a tree
they're yeah. like well we'll just add another room
I sold another sculpture we'll put an embroidery room up there like they have get the fuck out of here that was the most unrealistic shit ever but I don't even remember where the hell I was going I'm so frustrated with this thing right now honestly I lost
Keegle
it.
Keegle and Robert De Niro they were married and then
they're
they
married.
Built the house and
they
then...
get divorced he cheated on her with Susan Sarandon who we find out was Keegle's best friend in the world.
Yeah.
Her closest friend in the whole world cheated on De Niro with him. So, okay, they're together. So they end up together. So Diane Keaton with two kids with this guy, three with the adopted one, and the fact that she cheated on him and is going out with her best friend, she's like, yeah, you keep the house. What fucking planet did that happen on where De Niro stayed in the house?
And also... Like, no. Why would you want to stay in that house?
Because you built it, I guess, but still...
But I mean, if you're Susan Sarandon, because even Henry Francis and Betty Draper moved out of the house in Ossining.
That's true.
They moved to the one in Rye.
That's true. That's true. Well,
because
I meant
so tired of sleeping in Don's bed and, you know, seeing all of Don's...
I meant she would have got the house in a fucking divorce because... He's cheating
on
her with
her best
friend.
Well, they're so amazing and amicable, obviously.
I guess that's, I don't know what it was, or I guess she kind of ran off and did like, well, you know, went to go find herself. Because this all happened after the kids were grown, it says. So like after Alejandro went to college or some shit. So
you figure Topher Grace is 29. So it was, they said it was 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, they ran off. It's weird. They ran off and because she lived in Cambodia for 3 months and she's learning tantric. Fucking 90-minute orgasms.
She had, no, not 90
days.
9 hours.
9 hours. 9 hours. Nine days.
Wow. No, that sounds like no.
She is Diane Keegle, so anything's possible out there. You know what I mean?
No! No!
I know when Sarah finds something very funny because she just screams no.
No!
She laughs while screaming no.
No! I don't like it! No.
That's how I know I struck a nerve.
No, I don't like it.
I mean, she really likes it.
No.
You have no idea.
No. Okay. So inexplicably, Katherine Heigl dumps her drink in the pool and then she just jumps in the pool.
Yeah. She throws her glass in the pool.
So
what if it breaks?
Yeah.
You're going to have broken glass in a fucking pool bottom,
fucking
stupid?
Take everybody, take the pool away from everybody?
You're going to have to drain it and fucking vacuum
get
it.
The
what
glass
are you talking
out.
About?
Yeah.
You can step on some broken glass in the deep end.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks.
Jerk.
Heigl.
Yeah, very aggressive.
You ruin everything, Heigl.
Even putting martini glass. She's even ruining the pool for everybody.
Yeah.
Ugh. Okay, anyway. So, Robert De Niro.
Heigl.
All right, so Robert De Niro is kind of standing on the diving board now because he's like, what the fuck? My daughter just dove in the pool. Alejandro corners Diane Keaton and he tells her something but we don't know yet until Diane Keaton goes running out to the pool and is not like, why are you on the diving board? She's like, oh my God.
Let me tell you everything.
We have to pretend like we're married because they can't, you know, the mom doesn't want us to be divorced and blah, blah, blah. So we have to pretend like we're married for the next 3 days. And she's like screaming as if that's like a reasonable thing, then also two...
She would come out and be like, listen to this shit.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not like, oh my God, we have to. She'd be like, all right.
Yeah.
Listen, that lady wants us to fucking, she doesn't know that we're divorced. Yeah.
Premise of the movie here is that we just kind of skipped over it, but Alejandro's birth mother, who apparently, Alejandro wasn't like in an orphanage. Alejandro just grew up underprivileged in Colombia, and these, Diane Keaton and Robert De Niro, adopted him away from her, but like with her permission to give him a better life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was like, you raise my son in America and you guys are wealthy and give him a better life. So now the mother is here from Colombia for his wedding, and she is very old-fashioned and very Catholic and doesn't want his mother to know that this couple that's been raising him is actually divorced and you know,
much
not
like,
moral.
Much like Val in
exactly
the
like,
Birdcage, where He's telling Robin Williams that they're Republican. I think he's a senator.
He's a senator or a congressman.
Yeah, I think he's in the House or the Senate, and
that 90s very religious conservative.
And then he said, and he's like, we need to get mom. Who is the mom?
Oh shit! It was what's her name? Oh my God.
She's Martha May Huvier in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I can't remember her name right now.
The two moms are in everything in that movie, and I am just completely blanking out on their names.
So it's Martha May Huvier and Robin Williams, and because she's Val's birth mother. Yeah. So she's involved in Val's life. So he's like, we need to get mom here. So you guys need to act like a married couple. And then they tell Nathan Lane, and Nathan Lane is very upset.
I hope.
If you don't know The Birdcage, you should watch it.
You should watch
it.
You will love The Birdcage.
Because it's your favorite movie in the whole world.
And it was okay for Hank Azaria to do what he was doing in 1994. So don't yell at Hank Azaria for it either.
Oh.
It's perfectly fine for him to play a very gay Hispanic man in 1994.
Yeah,
but I mean nowadays.
But you're already having an argument with people when it's not even happening.
I don't want people to watch it now, younger people, and be like, oh my God, that's super offensive. In 1994, that was not, no one ever
it's
even,
not offensive.
It wasn't offensive then. And nowadays, if he did it, people wouldn't be okay with it. But back then, it was like no one looked twice.
Anyway, Nathan Lane is a wonderful drag performer in a club in South Beach in Florida, and Robin Williams is his partner in The Birdcage. And
are we describing Birdcage now?
And Val, Robin Williams' son, and the mother of him is Martha May Huvier.
It just gave up and went to The Birdcage.
It's a better movie.
This is great. I'm loving this so much.
Nathan Lane is Starina. She's the main attraction.
What is happening?
She's the headliner. The Kennedys go there.
Oh my God.
But anyway, so
amazing.
So they're going to put on this whole ruse for their adopted son Alejandro because they love him.
Back to this movie.
Susan Sarandon is upset because Alejandro didn't think about her because she was like, okay, so if they're going to be married, then who am I?
Where
because
do I go?
I've been your stepmom for like 10 years now.
Why couldn't she just be an aunt?
Yeah.
Why couldn't they just say, she's my aunt, and to have her stick around? I don't know why they had to make it like she had to leave. Well, she got mad and left.
Well, no, she got mad and left because she definitely did not need to. Like,
she got mad at De Niro for some
reason. At least in The Birdcage, they tried to work Nathan Lane in. He was going to be the uncle, and then he was going to...
Yeah,
and then he ended up dressing as Val's mom because Martha May Huvier couldn't show up.
Well, clearly.
Traffic.
It's a bitch,
Oh, I just want to talk about that movie. So Susan Sarandon is... This conversation is very weird, but anyway, Susan Sarandon has run off, and the rest of everybody is having a very witty conversation at the table.
Another one. Another witty conversation.
So Susan Sarandon has decided that she's just leaving. She's like, no thanks. And she's taking the pugs, and they're going to the plaza, and she's going to put everything on Robert De Niro's...
Platinum card.
And which made me think that she was fine with it, but she was like mad.
Yeah.
But then
whatever.
Are they broken up? Like, I was just so confused.
But then she said, get away from me, you're on thin ice. So I was like, okay, she's mad at the situation and she doesn't want to be nice to him because of it. That's fine.
Yeah.
I get it. So, but then later on, it's not like that.
Yeah.
So I don't understand what's happening.
I understand I get it. Like, if you're their stepmom for like 10 years and you love them like you're their own, and then... they don't even think to include you in your wedding. Hey, I need my mom and dad to pretend like they're married for my biological mom. And then to not be like, hey, you're going to be like my aunt or whatever. Like, I'm sure Susan Sarandon would have been fine with playing whatever part. She seemed like she was a gamer. She just wanted to be included.
She didn't stick around long enough to even find out. Because she was just like, well, where am I? And he's like, haven't figured that out yet.
And then he ran to go apologize. And then she was just packed her bags and left.
Gonzo. That's what I mean. Like, she took off. So
how
it was
Egyptian.
So it was like, okay. Like there was no time to even come up with an alternate plan. She wasn't even like, okay, cool, let's figure out who I am. She was just like, later, fuckers. I'm mad at you, Robert De Niro.
Yeah, I'm taking the dogs.
And then he was in the driveway going, what did I do?
But she's at the fucking whole rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
She's at the rehearsal dinner.
Well, because she's also the caterer.
But she's at the rehearsal dinner.
Yeah, she shows up acting like a waiter. Yeah,
Okay, so now we meet Alejandro. Oh, sorry. So they need to pretend that they're married. Diane Keaton punches Robert De Niro in the face because he was talking shit about something. And here comes Alejandro's mom and sister in the cab. We see Robert De Niro's sculpture room. Alejandro's mom calls him a pervert because
they're mostly sexual sculptures.
It's mostly sexual.
He's built a huge house and has money to send people to Harvard, and everybody has all this money from like.
But he makes gross sculptures. Get a life.
The one was just a lady diddling herself. It was just, but they're not like sculptures like you're thinking of. They're just made of like stone. They're just like it's laying there like somebody would put in their garden or something. It doesn't look like,
and it's like it's art. Like it we didn't see look like everybody's a big dicks all the time and all these sculptures, and so it's gonna be okay.
I don't know.
There's always ladies.
He's
not
Michelangelo here.
No, he's just De Niro.
He's something like that.
Okay. So we're going through the house, and like, I guess it's good because Diane Keaton is at least familiar with this house, and she has been married to Robert De Niro, so it's not like she has to figure out where she's going or what she's doing, or like, I don't know where they keep that. Like, she knows everything.
It's one of those rom-com houses where it's of indeterminate size. It's just big. So any room they go to, they're just like, that's a room. And I guess so, because who the fuck knows what's in there? It's just huge.
They're looking at everything and they see that Susan Sarandon has a pug-shaped like picture frame wall. So it's like a bunch of picture frames full of pictures of their pugs. Yeah, it's a mosaic.
A mosaic of pug frames.
It's shaped like a pug.
It's disturbing. Okay. It really is. It's a little scary. I'm not going to lie.
Alejandro was translating the conversation between Robert De Niro and his mom. Of course, they're very witty, even though he doesn't understand. But you'd think that he would have taken an opportunity to learn that language since his son speaks five languages.
Seems like
But he's just like, I don't know what she's saying. It's like, okay.
Seems like when he got there from Colombia, it would have probably been a good time to pick up a few passing phrases.
Yeah, so you can help teach him English or something like
just
that.
Just to be able to communicate with him right away. Yeah.
No, not at all.
Neither of them.
Now
we're
in the house, and Katherine Heigl checks her phone. You have no new voicemails in your mailbox.
That's
sad.
Very sad
for her. Topher Grace is apparently just wearing a shirt that says "Owls are assholes," and I'd like to know why that.
I don't know. It's pretty funny.
Is
but
a shirt?
I'm not sure.
I need one immediately. And he is also hitting on Alejandro's sister, and she goes and skinny dipping in the lake or creek or Cheddar Bay. Oh, Cheddar Bay. That's what we're calling it. Cheddar Bay. And it feels like that was many episodes ago that we talked about Cheddar Bay.
There's a lot of nudity too.
Nudity. Yeah, we saw nipple.
I mean, she's got her ass hanging out. She turns around. Here's my nipple, and then she dives in straight down. So you get some frontal
too.
It's like Jesus Christ, they really went
and then but it was funny because he's like, I'll go get some bathing suits and some towels and whatever, and then all of a sudden you hear the gardener go, holy shit,
look at this,
his broad's got a fucking cans hanging out, look at this, he's like elbowing
she's gonna
him.
Go
hey,
swimming yeah
I'm
and Topher
go
Topher Grace is like
it.
Not there's no shame, he's not like, oh my god, like he's not like
he's like, oh, I should go back down there.
He's like, yeah, I'm gonna go over there and go skinny dipping with her.
Yeah,
like, whatever.
I'm gonna go get my dick out.
I'm surprised that the gardener didn't make a comment about how he's a virgin, but that's fine.
I'm surprised. Everybody.
So she says, "Are you gonna show me around? Are you gonna be my tour guide?" And he's like, "Yeah." And then she says, "And you'll make love to me also." And this is another thing where this is when my curiosity peaked, when I said, what man wrote this? Like, will you show me around and then you'll also make love to me, Topher Grace?
Again, it sounds like a 70s.
An eye roll and a half.
She's from another country, so you got to show her around. Sounds very 70s, very 70s. This whole movie is from the 70s.
Alejandro's biological mom wants to go to church, so they go to church to go see Robin Williams, and she wants everyone to do confession that's what she wants. So this, I feel like, was just for like a montage of like funny little confessionals where, people are being neurotic because they're all, Robert De Niro starts with, "Forgive me, Father, for this is bullshit,"
Robert De Niro has no interest in religion.
They're talking, he's like, "Well, why? Why don't you like religion?" And then Diane Keaton's is a therapy session. Where she, the advice that she gets is just because you're divorced doesn't mean that you're legally required to hate him. I think that's beautiful.
That's
because,
a nice sentiment. Yeah,
you should be. You can be mad at your ex-spouse. That's a. It's always hard to go through that stuff. But
at some point, you got to give it up, though.
You know,
get over it.
Be mad at first, and then just you just kind of realize that your life is fine.
Unless they like intentionally drown your baby, it's okay. You'll get over it.
Yeah.
At
then
that
you
point,
are legally required to hate them.
At that point, you know what? You guys, you hate them as much as you want. Yeah.
Muffin and Barry O'Connor have moved the party outside at the restaurant for the rehearsal dinner because they don't want to be seen with, as Amanda Seyfried says, what was the expression that you used, Mom? And so I thought that that was funny.
Doesn't want to be seen with a Colombian, God forbid, in the restaurant.
And I just got really upset because
70s,
I was like, you uncultured swine.
Yeah. It sounds like 70s, though. We're going to run into people at the thing. I mean, nobody runs into anybody anywhere. It's just very 70s sounding. Yeah. There's only one restaurant where the rich people go.
Susan Sarandon is the server at this restaurant. Muffin asks, she says that they're not used to the American cuisine. Can you make a chimichangi? I would kick my mother if she said this.
Yeah.
I would like just openly kick. Alejandro and Amanda Seyfried never fucking like say, hey, oh my God, this is my fucking rehearsal dinner.
They just make
comments.
This
is my wedding. They just sit there and let everybody take over. They just sit and let everybody take over.
Yeah, they really need to apply themselves more in this movie.
Hi, this is our fucking wedding. Can you guys fucking shut up?
You know what? Everything that's happening around them is everything that's happened. This is all their wet. Everything is.
And everybody is being so selfish.
It's all everybody else's horseshit. The wedding part, they're fine. That's the thing.
Yeah.
They're fine. They're the only people in this movie who aren't fighting or having a problem, or their problem is everybody else. If they just, they should have just ran away and got married in their own yard like we did.
Yeah. And then, exactly. So. Apparently, Barry O'Connor is being investigated for stock fraud and the house is foreclosed on because Alejandro's mom is asking how come we're not having the wedding at their house. And I think that line was there just for, some of the hypocrisy of you think that they're trashy people and yet you're being investigated
for stock fraud
and your house is foreclosed on. Like, you need to...
Yeah.
You need to take a look within.
And Muffin's like, we still have money. We have money. It's just...
Because that's what's important to them.
Yeah.
Is that they were like, well, we want our daughter to marry somebody who came from money. And I'm sorry, he was fucking adopted and raised by Diane Keaton and fucking Robert De Niro, and they have money, so that's what his upbringing is.
Not to mention, he seems like he's probably pretty. He seems like he can do well for himself in the world, based on his knowledge. His training.
Does Alejandro make your daughter very happy? Great.
Yeah. If you came to any father and was like, "Hey, got this guy, graduated from Harvard, speaks 5 languages, super nice. Here are his parents; they're nice people." Well, how about that for your daughter? They'd be like, yeah, good, great. Sounds wonderful.
Is he nice to my daughter? Does he make her happy? Great.
And she loves him. He's nice and all that. And all those are his stats. You'd be like, fucking hey, line him up. Yeah. I don't give a shit.
Luckily, Amanda Seyfried was really cool and she was mostly mad at her parents the whole time. So that's good. Like, she's like, oh my God, you guys suck so hard.
Yeah, she's like, never defending them.
At least she does that, because Calista Flockhart doesn't really do that much until the end of the movie in The Birdcage. If you guys want to continue to talk about The Birdcage, just say so. It's fine.
I think you should just watch The Birdcage.
The Alejandro's sister is getting handsy with Topher Grace at the table. It is Handjob City, population Topher Grace.
Yeah.
They're all having a weird heart-to-heart around the table. And then Diane Keaton stands up to go and do something, and then she sees the sister giving Topher Grace a handjob at the table, and she's like, so now she has interrupted 2 very weird moments.
Very weird.
With her ex-husband and then her son getting a hand job at the table. And he's not even like, oh my God, my face is beat red because my mom just saw me getting a handy.
Well, his chair is like pushed out. He's not even like, he doesn't even like get as far under the table as possible and lean into it. He's just like sitting back normal with somebody jerking him off at the head of the table.
When we saw the close-up of that, it sounded very noisy. So nobody would be like, what is that noise?
What's that jerk? And her arm would just be, she was fucking jerking him like it was, like she was stuck between gears in an 18-wheeler. She was really working.
She
was fucking trying to really get some results there. And then what was the end game? Is the other thing.
Yeah. Khaki pants.
Yeah. Is he going to jizz on his pants in the middle of the restaurant? Is that what we're going for in the middle of dinner? Do we all want
What was your plan here?
No plan.
So anyway, she takes the sister, Diane Keaton takes the sister to the restroom or whatever. But it is rude to do this at the rehearsal dinner. And like Topher Grace was at no point like, oh my God, we can't do this.
No, well, he's a virgin, so you could jerk him off any place and he'd been fine.
And then Amanda Seyfried's in the car with Alejandro, and she says that she wants to be adopted. Alejandro just wants to elope. I think that's a great idea. I think that their family is making this day about themselves, and that's not necessary. And I just really feel like, you know, go elope, and that's fine.
You guys be happy. Don't let these people ruin, destroy your entire day. It's not worth it.
So we, everybody's driving home from the dinner. We get no texts, no calls from us for Heigl. She says it's like she's never even existed.
I wish.
And Topher Grace puts the napkin over his lap again in the back of the car to be like, let's continue.
Hey, you want
to
jerk me off in the back of the car while
with
my
your
whole
mom,
family's here?
Yeah, right there in the middle seat right there. Like, yeah. Jesus.
You're a doctor.
You went from no sex to like, let's just do hand jobs at the table and in the back of the car.
But we got into American Pie all of a sudden. Of a sudden, it's American Pie. And he's like Jason Biggs trying to bang the, what's her name? That's what we are out of nowhere here. It's the strangest thing.
And she says,
so stupid.
That so he wants to go try to fuck when they get back to the house. And the sister's like, no, you can read me poetry. I deserve to be treated with respect. Agreed.
Yeah.
I just think it's funny that she had
then
a couple of minutes in the bathroom with Diane Keaton and her whole outlook has changed.
Yeah. Yeah. Her whole life.
She's like, oh.
Her morals are completely different.
I need to be wooed. And I mean, of course, okay, would my opinions change if I was hanging out in the bathroom with Diane Keaton for 3 minutes? Probably. Yeah. You could probably talk me into anything, Diane Keaton. It's fine. Yeah. I'll change my perspective on things.
Yeah, listen, Ms. Keegle.
Yeah. That's fine. I'll talk about it. But I was just like, okay, that's fine. The reason that she gives him later on makes much more sense than what her initial reaction is.
Those people, all right, yeah, I don't
know. So then Diane Keaton gets back into the room and Robert De Niro's like, cool, let's bang for old time's sake. But like, I was like, wait, isn't he still dating Susan Sarandon?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's at the Plaza using his platinum card and he's trying to bang
his
ex-wife.
And then also, like, we just sent her to the Plaza like yesterday afternoon. Yeah. So, okay, that's cool. And then he wants to fool around. They're kind of having a heart to heart about like what went wrong and they're apologizing for whatever. And then in the morning, they just had very loud sex for everyone to hear.
Oh, Christ. It was
very loud.
They showed Alejandro's mom there clutching her you know, sheets, looking at the ceiling like, oh, God, it's going to come through.
Robert De Niro is smoking two cigarettes at the same time because he's an absolute weirdo. And at this point, I wrote down that I am so glad that my family is not this open and honest about anything because...
This is, you know, everybody's sex life.
Catherine Heigl's like, what's up, Dad? And he's like, cool, just spent 40 minutes in there with your mother.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
Jesus.
He said he used the term.
I laid so much pipe.
Yeah, he used the term laying pipe.
With his daughter.
Which is, yeah, it's not something you'd say to your daughter. Like, I was just laying pipe with your dear old mom there.
And it's the best pipe I've laid fucking 20 years, he said.
Oh, boy, yeah.
So Diane Keaton and Alejandro's mom are having a heart-to-heart in the woods. They're taking a walk. Diane Keaton thinks that she's having a conversation about, like, you know, I always tried to make sure that he had a relationship with you. I encouraged phone calls. Like, you know, she's trying to be like doing like an exit survey. Like, how do you think I did as a mother?
Yeah.
I tried to be. Yeah. Is this what you wanted for him?
That's
like,
hilarious.
You know,
yeah.
Like she's, you know.
Phil, can you fill this questionnaire
on a scale
out for
of
me,
one
please?
To 10? Like, how happy do you feel about my mothering techniques? You know, like. That
it's
type of
exactly
thing.
What it was.
And then Alejandro's mom thinks that they're talking about...
Would you recommend me as a mother to another kid?
Do you think I should adopt somebody else? I need to tell the adoption agency. 5 stars on Yelp, please.
5 stars for your child rearing.
So
that's great.
Alejandro's mom thinks that they are talking about... Like, she thinks that Diane Keaton is like apologizing for them having really loud sex.
Yeah.
And so she's like, it's cool. Like, I would, you know, I would love to have an orgasm like that. Like, I'm surprised that you're able to walk. And I was
in Spanish.
Well, no, because Diane Keegle does Kegels. So she's
pretty solid down there.
She doesn't need to.
No.
You know, she's great.
Keegle can do whatever she needs to get done. That's the thing. Her vagina can snap tree branches if she needs it to.
Moving on. Heart to heart in the sculpture studio between Heigl and De Niro, we learn all about Heigl's uterus and it not wanting to have children. And that is a very, very sad thing. So I don't want anybody to think that
it's just with Heigl, you don't want her to reproduce. Yeah. So you're every movie, if she can't have a kid, also, you're like, good.
It's a short movie. And I don't have any feelings for any of these characters.
No.
So that's what's weird about it, is that it's a very deep and, you know, very sensitive subject. But yet I know nothing about any of these characters.
You nailed it, because they have to give such limited screen time because everyone has to get screen time that you don't get to really get to know anybody.
I don't get to know anybody.
Which is strange, because all they do is have heart-to-hearts to try to make up for that.
But I'm not rooting for anybody. No. I don't care.
But that's why it's all the heart-to-hearts, I think, is because just to make up for that fact, to try to be like, well, let's lay cards on the table because we don't have time.
Yeah, so, this movie this was, like I said, it's a commercial for how annoying everybody's family is, no matter what.
Pretty much, yeah. But this one's way hornier than most families.
This one is definitely very horny.
And everybody's just like,
they're fine with it.
Yeah.
Like, I just, here we go. Who wants to hear about my orgasm? And it's like, Mom, it's breakfast.
Yeah, who wants to hear about my 9-hour orgasm?
Yeah. So, like I said, it was, you didn't get to know anybody. I didn't feel bad for Robert De Niro. I did feel bad for mostly Alejandro's mom, because I feel like Alejandro's mom, like, is sad that she never, like, got to spend time with her son. But, like, you got that in her character.
Yeah, but I also felt like she was kind of shitty and judgmental of them. And it's like, oh, they took your fucking kid here, which is not for nothing, and sent him to fucking Harvard. Yeah. The guy's... De Niro's in for like $300,000 for this fucking kid. You can at least, I don't care if you don't like him or not.
You can jerk him off at the table.
Thanks for that $500,000 you invested in my fucking kid. I mean, I don't care. Not for nothing.
Do you think she should have jerked him off at the table?
You know what? Maybe. No, you know, it's not a sexual thing, but maybe she should have told Kegel to do it. You know, be like, I think you should do that for him, or both of them, really, because it was both of their money, I guess, if they were married. But still, I'm thinking about it, and it's like, if somebody sent my kid to Harvard, do you know how fucking nice I would be to them forever?
Yeah. Well, you're really nice anyway.
Yeah, but if someone was like, I'm going to pay for your kid to go to Harvard, I would be like, this is the greatest. There he is. Every time he came in somewhere, we'd be singing for he's a jolly good fucking fellow. That's expensive. Yeah. What are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
They were really great parents to Alejandro.
I guess. I mean, besides the divorcing and fucking each other.
Well, so Susan Sarandon is catering the event, all organic stuff. I'm not sure why that keeps coming up. Like, it's just like,
she's like, you need to have earthy and hippie.
This is another thing that really bothers me. I really don't like it when you have this, like, your stepmom's always into weird shit. Like your stepmom's into, like, it's a pug. Like, she's a really weird dog lady, and, like, she likes this organic stuff. And they're like, oh, look at stepmom. She's really weird.
Yep.
And you're like, fuck you.
She's got an embroidery room.
She loves you fucks like you're her own for some fucking reason, and you guys are making fun of her weird pug obsession and tea. Shut up.
Yeah, it's very weird. I don't know why they do that to her. Yeah, that's every goddamn romantic comedy, though. The stepmom has to be like, dad married this one now. She's nice, but she's flighty. You know what I mean?
She's real crazy with her wanting to eat and drink nut milk. Like,
it's always some kind of like, I don't know. Eye roll.
It's fine. Anyway, so she is trying to drop hints to De Niro, like, because she sees him and Katherine Heigl having a heart-to-heart outside, and she's, like, excited for him because she knows that their relationship is strained, and she's like, dropping hints to De Niro, like, you should do anything to make her happy, like, you know, me. Yeah. Topher Grace has brought the sister breakfast in bed, and he is singing a song to her, I guess, and she has decided that she's not going to make love with him because technically they are brother and sister. And he's like, well, not really. And it's like, okay, Topher, like, she just said she's not going to have sex with you. Like, don't fucking try to state your case right now. She just said, like, we're brother and sister. Don't try to convince her right now that that's...
Topher goes from a respected medical professional to a 12-year-old with a hard-on for...
I was disappointed with him.
Yeah, it was, the character was stupid. It was they shouldn't have made him a doctor. They didn't need to make him a doctor. They had to make him so perfect.
Yeah.
So
she says that I won't make love with you because we are technically brother and sister. And then she says, also, you've waited a long time for love, and I would feel bad if I took that away from you. And meanwhile, he gives her like a calendar with a picture of a flower on every day, because she said that you would give, like, if you were
on her list
to date me, then you'd give me a flower every day for a year. Robert De Niro and Diane Keaton give Alejandro a gift. It is a box that Robert De Niro seemed to carve from the tree, and they put an acorn seed for his own tree for his own family. And he seems very jacked about this.
Oh, he seems to be very excited about it, because that's how they, that comes out. That's how they built their house, was when he proposed to her, when De Niro posed to Cagle there, he got down on one knee at this beautiful spot, and then they planted an acorn there and built the house under the shade of the acorn and added a new room every time he sold a sculpture.
That's right, that's right.
Load of horse shit.
So he... Alejandro has a heart-to-heart with Susan Sarandon. He calls her mom as well, which was very sweet. I thought that was very nice.
Yeah.
You could tell that Susan Sarandon's character really appreciated that comment, because she really didn't know where she fit in the kids' lives. And I understand that emotion. And then also, like, I feel like if Alejandro would have told Susan Sarandon that he thinks of her as a mom... yesterday or 2 days ago, she probably wouldn't have left and been so dramatic, but it's
fine.
That's
the thing.
That's
a rom-com.
He tells his biological mother that he wants Susan Sarandon and Diane Keaton and her to walk him down the aisle. Robert, and this is now where it just gets horrible and horrifying, and I don't blame Alejandro and Amanda Seyfried for doing what they did. Robert De Niro is drunk as fuck, and he's telling on himself that he fucked Diane Keaton. He's like, I'm sorry. You know,
he's apparently sober now. Yeah.
So Susan Sarandon punches De Niro. Everybody punches and slaps De Niro. Catherine Heigl is a little too comfortable with slapping her father.
She slapped him. Keaton punched him in the mouth, or right in the nose, and then Sarandon winds up and hits him with a hook.
And then we learn that Diane Keaton apparently cheated on De Niro first with Mr. Barry O'Connor. So
Muffin's husband,
a.k.a. Amanda Seyfried's dad. And apparently Muffin is into ladies as well. She's very into Diane Keaton. Yeah. She's like, it's cool. I told my husband that he can go bang people. I'm very into you and Susan Sarandon.
She says, I have my own fetishes.
Yeah.
And then she's like eyeballing the ladies. And she's like, either one of them would be fine.
Yeah, they're both delicious.
Yeah, yeah.
Alejandro so Catherine Heigl pokes her head in and she's like, hi, will you guys all come with me? And they go out and everybody is in the tent. They can all hear everything that's happening. Alejandro and Amanda Seyfried just go run with Robin Williams to go get married on the dock. They're mad at their family. Catherine Heigl tells Diane Keaton that she is pregnant. Surprise. I was like, wait, I thought she just said I needed to know more information. Again, see, I didn't know that she's been trying for years. That's what, you know, that's, they she thought that the career yeah. would,
it was,
she could, you know, they, they've been trying and she couldn't have a baby. So she's like, I'm just going to focus on my career and make that my baby. Like, there was so many ways for me to, like, feel excited about this moment, but you can't do that in 90 minutes. So I understand.
They
so that's
gloss
fine.
Over it
they really,
so
she's
quickly.
She's like, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. And then Diane Keaton's like, oh my God, great. That's awesome. Because nobody knew that she was trying to have babies. It doesn't seem like they really keep up with each other now that they're all old. Like, you know, she's like, oh my God, I didn't know.
And the character really seems to have been trying to get pregnant for a long time.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't seem like everyone knows that. Like, to give, like, there's no moment of like, oh my God, finally, good for you.
Yep.
That they're just like, hey, great. Like,
yeah.
It's very much like not as big of a moment for everyone else as it is for Heigl, because we don't even know how big of a moment it is. So they don't tell us.
Topher Grace goes and brings a glass of champagne to go see Alejandro's sister. So Alejandro's sister says that, you know, because your mother, all the shit that I just heard about your family, I'm not going to be accepting advice from these people. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the business anyway. So they get to business. I love how he was just a virgin and he was like, I don't know, I'm really nervous about the, you know, finding the right girl. And then he's just like,
caution
let's
to
give
the
me a hand job at the table with your mom in the front seat and let's go and fuck in my childhood bedroom.
I saw a naked Colombian girl down by the pond. So everything's out the window.
Yep. And now we have a heart to heart with Diane Keaton and Susan Sarandon, where we find out that Diane Keaton says that she's been over it, you know, and like that was, she made the first move on Robert De Niro last night because she just wanted to make sure that she was, you know, truly over him, and she was. And it's like, that's a really fucked up thing to say to Susan Sarandon.
And then
right
Sarandon's
now.
Like, well, that's cool.
And
yeah,
she's like, are you sure? Like, yeah, it's just like, you know, are you sure you're done with him? And it's like, what the fuck?
No one had correct reactions in this movie.
No, Susan Sarandon. I was like, Susan, you need to have more respect for yourself. Go out with.
Yeah.
Go out with Frank.
Or at least be mad for a while.
From 30 Rock.
Yeah, there you go. At least be mad for a while.
Yeah.
Like, that would
be
fine.
You can be upset. And then, but instead she's just like, oh, you did? Dang it. Like, you think you'd be mad at Robert De Niro for, like, you can't even keep in your pants. You're disgusting. Like, you think you'd be mad at him. But anyway.
Nope, not at all.
Robert De Niro is still drunk. He's screaming on the microphone, wanting to tell Susan Sarandon something. And then I would just be like, if I was Susan Sarandon, he's like, baby, I love you so much. I know that I, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, I would be like, I'm not listening to you right now. I'm still processing the fact that you cheated on me last night. And then he proposes to her. And she's like, when did you get that ring? And he's like, oh, I've had it for like 6 years. Wouldn't you be like, what the fuck? You've had it, and then you haven't.
Men do that, though.
That's so annoying that you guys do that.
Well, it's not only for that. Like,
They're like, I want to marry this person, and then they don't ask them for 6 years.
And also, it's sometimes not even that. Sometimes men are weird. Sometimes men, if they think possibly they might be getting married or might want to propose at some point down the road, if they find a deal on a ring, they'll get the ring then, and then they have it just in case. It's really strange. Guys don't look at it the same way as you do. That's why. They're just like,
I don't look at it anyway.
No, but I just meant as like ladies do. It's a different thing for where they're like, but well, like, when I have to give this to someone at some point.
It's fine
so I'll
to
get
have
one now.
Like a ring, but then you guys, like men will make fun of women for buying a wedding dress before they have a ring.
Yeah, so, but it's the same thing. We're just getting it to give to you because you want it.
But the dress is just to wear.
Yeah,
so
but we don't care
the dress.
What you wore.
You have your dream.
That's
I know.
It's still for you.
I know, but it's just like, so I know that I want to get married someday, and this is the wedding dress that I would like. Why is that bad?
Because we don't get a warm feeling. We're just like, I'm going to need this someday. Like if you bought like an extra set of tires, you're like, I should get snow tires. That's what guys are looking at. Like, I got to have this in case I meet some lady that I want to marry, and I got this ring, and I got it for a good price. She's going to want a fucking ring, and I'm going to have to get her one. That's not what you should do.
No.
You should get a ring for specifically the lady that you are looking for, especially if you know what they like and things like that. But
well, you should get
guys don't do that generally.
Like, I got a Celtic knot ring, and I think it's the most wonderful.
Well, that's what you wanted. Yeah.
Well, I guess
well,
I
people
didn't
are going to be like, "Jesus,
that.
James, you suck." I'm going to get tweets saying I suck.
I'm very thrilled
that's
with the Celtic knot. I would take a bread tie, so I don't really care.
That's what I'm. Yeah, but this is I'm saying a
that's
lot.
That's what I mean is that you should make it an individual thing, like for you should make it special for your person.
But guys are doing it very utilitarian. They're like, "I need a diamond," which is like, "I need a tool in case something breaks."
I feel like an engagement ring is much more personal. So even if it is like a lot like a fucking ring. Pop. If that's what you know that your fiance would like, then
No, it should be. I agree with you. But for guys, it's not. For guys,
it's
like
special.
I'm getting a tool that I need in case that nut. I need to get that nut off of that thing someday. Oh. That's how guys look at
it's
it.
Very
like,
strange.
Yeah, because we don't care about ring. We don't get the same connection with it that you guys do. So it's for us. It's like I'm gonna have to give this to somebody. It's weird for a lot of guys, anyway.
I would kill my family for behaving like this at my wedding. They never say a word. They're just kind of like laughing and enjoying the craziness. Like you'd think that they would be like, I am never speaking to any of you ever again.
None of you.
And even like Alejandro, because he's so embarrassed by his parents being divorced with his biological mom, you'd think that he'd be like, oh my God. But instead they have like many conversations in front of her and just kind of hope that she doesn't speak English or understand English.
Hope she's not picking anything
and
up.
He's not like, oh my God, can you guys not fucking say that in front of my mom? Like, oh my God, like he's never like that. But anyway, De Niro and Sarandon are getting married now. So he proposes to her and then they get married right on the spot. Why? We have no idea. Alejandro is arguing with his biological mom now because she's upset with him because he's a liar. She was like, I don't know why you wouldn't just tell me that they're divorced. Like, you know, I'm not so fucking old fashioned as I seem. And then she tells him that he is actually a child out of wedlock.
Not out of wedlock. He was lied to about who his father was for his whole life. Yeah, like because she was banging the assistant mayor of Medellin and he was a married man and like all this shit. It was like.
And he's like, wait, so my dad was not a bean farmer? And then the next scene is him laughing and joking and like, I would be crying.
Yeah, she's like, nope, some things happen and walks away. I was like, hey, what the fuck?
Yeah.
No.
Tell me who my dad is.
Yeah, what are we talking about here? Yeah. I'm very confused. So
Diane Keaton, she says to Robin Williams, you were right. There are different kinds of love, which really upset me because I was like, listen, you are a woman who adopted a child. you understand that there are different types of love. You've had, so you got married, you fell in love, you got married, then you had a child, which is a different type of love. Then you had another child, which is a different type of love because you had a boy and a girl.
How about you?
And then you fucking adopted a child, so you know there's a different type of love. You presumably have other family members who you love.
Also, you're 65 years old.
Yeah.
You know the way things are by 65 years old. You're not like, there's different kinds of love. Like, you're 65, you're not Encino, man. You didn't just come out of a fucking block of ice for less.
You know. You love. Like, when I was a little kid, I used to think that, like, I mean, like, little, I was probably like four, and I thought that you only said I love you to people that you were married to. And I remembered my grandpa said to me, I love you, Sarah. And I went, ew. We're not married, Grandpa.
Yeah,
I'm
Jesus
like, I'm
Christ.
Four, but yeah, gross. I don't know what my problem was. But anyway, so then it goes from Diane Keaton and Robin Williams, and then it goes into a Michael Bublé song, the You Can Dance. If they ask you to dance, that song, the awful one,
we
the Save the Last
quick.
Dance. They scroll through all the different loves. There's Topher Grace and, you know, Alejandro's sister. There's De Niro and Heigl. Their relationship is better. Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Oh, Heigl's husband.
Heigl's husband shows up.
This drip.
And she's like, and she fucking hijacks
this looks like
Amanda Seyfried, because Andrew's like, oh yeah, your dad told me that you wanted me to come here because you have something to tell me.
He looks like a marshmallow with hair from the stuck on the shower wall plastered on his head. That's what he looks like, this fucking guy.
So he's like, your dad said that you have something to tell me, and then so Amanda Seyfried's like, okay, like, we're gonna let you go and like talk to him. This is obviously a very personal conversation. And Heigl's like, no, you're family now, you can hear this. And that's like, oh,
I don't want to.
I don't want to hear this. And Alejandro was never like, no, sister.
We just got married.
This seems like a very private conversation. Please do not make my wife uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
Like,
public.
What are you doing? I would kill my sister if she did that. So then she's like, I'm pregnant. And then you said mean things to me. But meanwhile, we find out that she said, like, get the hell out of my life. I don't want you in my life anymore. And then he said mean things to her, of course, because she broke up with him.
Yeah,
she just said, fine, fuck you. And the horse she rode in on.
Then she was mad at him for not trying to get a hold of her after she dumped him. And it was like, and then Diane Keaton said
to her, she's like, well, you did leave him.
Yeah, everyone's like, what do you expect? You fucking broke up with him. You left him. Of course
she's
not trying to get
hold of him. And then she's like, well, he doesn't have to make it so easy. And it's like, well, then fucking communicate
it's
that.
Like, you're the worst, Heigl, in every fucking movie. You're unreasonable.
Fucking communicate that.
Jesus.
Either say, like, you can reach out to him. There's nothing stopping you from being like, hey, asshole.
Yeah, unreasonable. Yeah. Starring Catherine Heigl.
So anyway, it ends on De Niro voiceover saying, welcome, baby Jane. Your grandmothers are all crazy. Rude. I was like, oh,
they
of course.
Though.
I know, but Robert De Niro is crazy, too.
Oh, he's crazy,
he's
too.
He's only calling all the ladies crazy, which made me upset.
Oh, well, I don't know. They're
and
all
then
nuts
it's
in
over.
This fucking house.
It's
even
fucking
Topher
over.
Grace is crazy.
It's done. It's done.
Thank fuck for that. Jesus Christ. That's painful.
Well,
painful.
James.
Well,
we can go on a trip here from Cheddar Bay.
All the way.
To the Heigl Meter.
To the Heigl Meter.
The Heigl Meter is our unit of measurement, the way that we rate our movies on a scale of 1 Heigl to 5 Heigls. 5 Heigls being the worst movie, most punishing, awful, terrible, no good movie. And then 1 Heigl, not that bad.
Not that bad. Zero.
I'm going to...
We
usually go by, you know, there's no rules. We don't have to do 1 to 5.
No, you can do whatever we want.
We can make a formula.
We
can
creative.
Do whatever we want. You went first last week, so I'll go first
this
week.
Yeah, please, go first.
I'm just going to give it a good old-fashioned fiver. 5 Heigls.
Really?
Yeah, just not good. It was entertainingly terrible. I'll never watch it again.
Yeah, no.
If I feel like I want to watch that movie, I will watch The Birdcage because it's much better.
Yeah.
So I will give it 5 Heigls.
And it had a couple of lines here and there that were pretty funny.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, okay. But then it would just be destroyed by a pile of shit afterwards. It would get like a dump truck full of manure would get dumped on it. I give it 1,978 Heigls, which is 1978, which is the year I believe this was written.
Okay.
So that's how many Heigls I give it. Fuck this movie.
This movie was awful. Thank you, TJ.
Thank you, TJ.
It was enjoyable. We did want to bring Heigl back because
Needed all Heigls.
We are a week. We're taking a week off next week. So remember, we're on 3 weeks on and 1 week off. So this is our last week until we have a break. Don't even wonder about what we're doing.
1 week
or
off,
we're going.
And we'll be back the next week.
So next week we're off and then we're back. But so thank you, TJ. This movie was very entertaining.
It was.
It was very terrible, and it was... I feel like almost exactly what this podcast is about.
It's this type of shit.
It was very good, mm-hmm. including Heigl. It was...
No, this is that movie is the essence of this podcast. Yeah. TJ, great selection. Thank you.
Great selection. Thank you
very
much.
Sorry we couldn't see you in Philly recently. We apologize. We missed you.
We did.
Yeah. Well, we wanted to go, but we can't. Sorry. That's all right.
It's okay.
So, whatever. What are you going to do? Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here and listening. And thank you for your podcast review, your Apple Podcast reviews. If you want to go on there and give us 5 stars, please do. If not, just don't worry about it. Go on with your life. If you want to follow us on social media, we're Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigld. We do bonus episodes on Patreon every other week.
Including this week.
Including this week. We will be talking about 90 Day Fiancé, the tell-all for Happily Ever After.
All the
there was
good
three
gossip.
Parts.
Yeah.
And then we will talk about, if we have time, we'll talk about 90 Day Fiancé the other
way. We're going to talk a lot of shit about Libby's family because I am just not impressed. Kick Charlie repeatedly in the nutsack until Chuck has to fucking massage them back to life. Yep. That's what I want because I fucking hate both of those two.
And I
want to
bully Jen.
Yeah, Jen needs bullying.
I want to
bully
time. Her.
Bad. Yeah, I do.
I don't want to be mean to her. I just want to bully her. I want to really bother her.
Kalani's sister to bully her because she's big and can bully. She seems she's like tall. You know what I mean? She'd be like, listen, bitch.
Yeah. And this week we're doing another round of 90 Day Fiancé. That's on Patreon, patreon.com/YouGotHeigled, YouGotHeigld. We have merchandise. It's on Threadless. It's heigleyourself.threadless.com. I put the links in all of our bios, and I think I also put it in the episode description. If you'd like to talk to me on Twitter or on Instagram about... I don't know.
Anything.
Whatever you want. It's fine. We can talk about stuff. I'm at Twitter and Instagram.com /SarahHisFunny. SarahHisFunny. I also have 2 books on Amazon. They are also, I think, on BarnesandNoble.com. They're called Small Potatoes, and they're Mouthwatering Musings of a Misanthrope, or they are also Leftover Beef from a Lovable curmudgeon. If you'd like to hear me saying how I think that people should behave themselves at parties, because this episode I told you a lot about how you should not behave these ways, and I would be mortified if my family did behave those ways.
Right.
If you'd like to hear more about how I think parties should be held, how you can be a better party guest or anything like that. Yes, oh my God, I am writing a cookbook. I'm just also doing a lot of
and tons of stuff
going
on.
But anyway, James, how can people talk to you?
You can talk to me. You can find me at Jimmy P is Funny, or you can just copy and paste my name. You want to hear other things that I'm on every Tuesday, Crime and Sports, every Thursday, Small Town Murder. Listen to those because they're really, really funny, and so are Sarah's books, and you should buy them. And I think now we're ready for the awesome people, aren't we? Huh?
Yes, we are absolutely ready for the awesome people.
I want to hear the awesome people. Tell me good people and tell me right now.
That's a really great song.
It was like an 80s... serial commercial jingle, basically. Yeah.
We've got Biff Thunderbeef. Great name.
Nice. I like Biff Thunderbeef. That's quite the name.
Della Reaganweather, Matthew Boatwright, Eric Higgins, Kristen McAllister, Andrew Serrano, Bobby Colorado.
Hey.
Rochelle Scoggins, Monica, Mary Kate Appel or Apple. Joshua Miller, Kevin Bartlett, McKenna Mattal, and I want to say it's Peyton Reiser. It might be Peyton. I don't know. I'm going to say Peyton just because I feel like Peyton should be what your name is.
Take a stand.
Yeah, I'm going to say it confidently. And Ashley Vio Duty as well.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us.
We really do appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. And we will try to throw down awesome bonus material for you.
We didn't even bring up once about the ass nailers today. Damn it.
Oh.
All right. Well, anyway, you broads and ass nailers.
Thank you, International Pyramid of Ass Nailers. We appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much. We love you guys.
Get more ass nailing in your downline.
Go heigle yourselves and get out there. Nail some asses.
Go heigle yourselves, everybody.
Thank you. Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.